Rod's Pulse Podcast Number 61, Wikis for Collaboration, Steve on Video Podcasting, and Podsafe Pachelbel.
This is Rod's Pulse Podcast, the podcast for faculty and students interested in learning how to use and create podcasts and other e-learning technologies. Welcome back. Hi, this is Rod. Welcome back. That was a piece by Laura Sullivan. It's called Pachelbel for the Potomac, and it comes from a CD entitled Pianoscapes for the Trails of North America. I love Pachelbel, and this was an interesting version. It's another piece that I got from the IOTA PromoNet, so stay tuned at the end of my podcast when you can hear the full piece, Pachelbel for the Potomac. Today I'm introducing a new feature to Rod's Pulse Podcast. You may recall, I think two podcasts ago, I interviewed Steve Lebetkin of the Professional Podcasts LLC. He's a wealth of information, been very experienced in producing podcasts for companies and making a living at it. So I'm introducing something called Steve's Corner, and it will feature Steve talking about some specific topics that I posed to him. And today, Steve's going to talk a little bit about video podcasting. But before we get to that, my main topic today is wikis for collaboration. And what I'm going to do for you is to review an article that came to my attention. I've mentioned wikis in the past, but I really haven't spent a lot of time talking about it. Of course, that's another kind of e-learning technology that's making inroads. There are modules now you can add to your Blackboard system to make it easy for faculty to create wikis, both for themselves and for their students. So what attracted me was an article in EDUCAUSE Connect. It's by Chelsea Harper and Kate Watson, and they did some research, and the article is entitled Supporting Knowledge Creation Using Wikis for Group Collaboration. Of course, the term wiki is commonly used to describe a set of interconnecting web pages that can be edited by multiple users on the internet. Now, of course, Wikipedia is a famous version of a wiki. Now, if you're a group that requires some collaboration, especially if you're widely distributed throughout the country, you might want to take advantage of wikis for that functionality. They allow collaborative groups. They can often be a fairly large number of participants. Wikis provide a safe and effective virtual forum for interaction and web authoring, and an asynchronous platform for virtual communities of practice. Wikis can act as repositories, enabling effective knowledge management. Now, this particular research bulletin examines the wiki philosophy and how it fits in with Web 2.0 context. Now, just to give you a little reminder of what wikis are all about, wikis enable a democratic process. Any group member can add, delete, or modify the wiki content. The wiki software enables version control. When changes are made to a wiki page, the previous changes are automatically recorded and made available to users. This avoids undesirable effects. If somebody makes a mistake, you can always roll back to an earlier version. The authors state, quote, "While wikis offer a number of benefits for supporting knowledge creation in collaborative groups, the literature suggests a strong need to establish conventions to enable long-term success," end quote. One thing that's helpful to point out about wikis, I think, is that it really depends on the culture. Organizations that don't value open-minded exchange and don't support a non-hierarchical exchange of ideas aren't going to find these kinds of so-called conversational technologies useful. The authors have a section called Virtual Communities of Practice. Communities of practice can be defined as self-organizing networks of people dedicated to sharing knowledge. The authors go on to sum up by saying that, quote, in both the literature and in practice, the editable nature of the wiki is heralded as a key function in developing a centralized knowledge repository and enabling a forum for group communication and interaction. If you're embarking on a wiki project, especially at an institutional level, they list some key questions to ask. One, how does our institution proactively seek to capture and manage both formal and informal knowledge sources? In what ways does our institution currently facilitate interaction and collaboration between distributed groups? And what are the primary drivers for community-based knowledge creation in our institution? To what degree does our institution support the Wiki Way, philosophy, and culture? And how does our institution support initiatives involving the use of new technologies? And how can such initiatives be strategically aligned with the goals and mission of the university? So, it's a good article to read for background, and they do have a bibliography, some reference material where to learn more about wikis, especially using it for knowledge management at your institution. There's certainly a lot more to say about wikis. You'll be hearing more from me on wikis. In fact, I think what we'll do in one of my next podcasts is to talk about the use of wikis in business. So let's go to Steve's corner now and see what Steve has to say about his experience so far with video podcasting.
We're very excited, by the way, Rod, about moving into video podcasting. You know, about 2 years ago, the clients started saying, what about video? What about video? And about almost a year ago, I had the opportunity to acquire some lightly used, let's say, professional video equipment from someone who had a video business he was shutting down. And we've been very successful in getting clients to buy into the video podcasting thing. We just did a series of 6 videos for the Urban Land Institute in Philadelphia, which is on their website. It's philadelphia.uli.org. They had a half-day seminar on the economic outlook for the commercial real estate industry. They had 5 different panels and a keynote speech from the new mayor of Philadelphia, Michael Nutter. So it was a lot of fun being the only video crew recording the mayor at one of his first official appearances after being elected. We've done videos for the New Jersey Bankers Association, and we're actually doing a few videos for our own account. I have a very low-end, inexpensive handheld camera and carry that around with me almost everywhere, and I've done a couple of fun videos. We had, for example, a cooktop replaced in our kitchen, and while the guy was here, he had to make a few cuts in the countertop to fit the new cooktop in. So I took videos of them putting that together, threw it together as a very brief and poorly edited podcast, but I threw some titles in it and some production values. And believe it or not, 45 people have actually watched that video. So, you know, there's a topic for everybody in podcasting, and that's what's so beautiful about it. We obviously record a mini DV, and we do the renders primarily in MPEG, which is the standard definition TV format. We can use that to burn DVDs, which we do for clients, and then we will upload that to one of the video platforms. We happen to use blip.tv. as our video platform. So if your listeners are interested, they can go to professionalpodcasts.blip.tv and see some of our video work there. What's nice about Blip, and some of the others are starting to do this, Vimeo does it, and I believe Bright Cove also does it, is something called transcoding. You upload the MPEG file, and they will automatically, depending on the level of subscription you have, they will automatically transcode it into multiple formats. So they'll set it up for the right format for iPod users and automatically put the feed into iTunes for you, and then they put it into a Flash format for their players. So it's really easy to give a client the code for a Flash player that's unique to their video. And they can embed it right in their website, and people can go there, click on it, and it plays. And it's really, really seamless, and it's a heck of a lot easier than back in the days, my early PR career, when we used to take an audio clip on a standard tape recorder and try and feed it over the phone line to a radio station that may or may not use it, and you had to do it one at a time. I mean, you literally have listeners or viewers all over the world. You know, you have global reach with a much lower investment. So it's a really exciting time to be doing podcasting. Yeah, I've been very impressed, particularly with the Blip.tv service. It's very seamless. It's very easy to use. You don't have to be very, very technologically adept to get your stuff in there. Obviously, they're aiming at people like us who are not professional broadcasters. But it's also good to know there are some professional broadcasters who are doing video podcasts and audio podcasts and are more than anxious to help. I've met at some wonderful people through the podcasting and through some of the other social networking. And they're really, really happy to give tips and advice and things like that. And we're learning as we go.
So that's it for Steve's Corner this episode. And don't forget to stay tuned for the full song, Pachelbel for the Potomac. So until next time, have a great week.
Please leave odd feedback at 610-616-2199.
Thank you. That's it for today's episode. Thank you very much for listening. Please don't forget to leave Rod feedback. You can go to www.rodspulsepodcast.com and leave comments on his blog. You can send feedback to his email address, rod@rodspulsepodcast.com. You can also send audio feedback by calling into his comment line at 610-616-2199. Till next time, have a great week.
The preceding audio commentary is the product of the author, Dr. Rodney Merry, and does not represent the official viewpoint of Thomas Jefferson University, or any other institution or company.